Welcome to our time of study in God's Word. This is study number 82 in this series through the Gospel of John, and it's titled, our study today is titled, The Holy Spirit, the Helper and Spirit of Truth. Today we're going to examine John 14, 16 through 17. Would you please join me now in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you first for this time that you've given to us to open your Word. And Lord, I pray today as we study, Lord, that you would open our eyes and ears to hear what you have to say to us. For you are our helper, and help us in times of need. And Lord, if we're honest, we need you, not just for the day, not even just in this moment. We need you in every moment of every day, including today, in this even right now. So Lord, we pray that you would illuminate this text of scripture to us, that we might know you more. And Lord, that you would bring conviction where conviction is needed, that you would bring comfort where comfort is needed, affliction where affliction is needed, endurance, Lord, where endurance is needed. Lord, we pray also, Jesus, that you would transform us by your grace through this message, that we might know you through the Spirit, who is truth. So Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time that you've given to us. And pray now, Lord, that you would use it in our lives as we study your word, which promises to return without void. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. And here's what our text today says. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It's not hard to see how the disciples became so devoted to Jesus and dependent on his personal presence. During his 3.5 year ministry on earth, he had guided them, taught them, rescued them, and revealed God's power to them. According to Jesus, one of the most important things that he would ever do for his disciples was to leave them. And Jesus here explains in our text today why his departure to heaven was for the benefit of his followers in John 14, 16 through 17, which says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You see, in heaven, Jesus will be seated in power at the right hand of the Father for their sakes. And in his place on earth, he would send the Holy Spirit, who not only would dwell with you, but would even be in you, according to John 14, 17. So let's meet the Holy Spirit as we open our text today. Most Christians today are well informed about the person and the work of Jesus Christ, but they are not as informed about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But writes J.I. Packer, the average Christian is in the complete fog as to what work the Holy Spirit does. Errors abound when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and perhaps just as concerning, many impoverished Christians whom Paul met when he first arrived in Ephesus, they're like that. These Ephesians stated in Acts 19 verse 2, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So the first thing to know about the Holy Spirit is that he is a person. And his personhood can be seen throughout the New Testament, in which the Spirit is said to decide, to act, to speak, and feel just as any other person does.
And so when Jesus says that he will send another helper, he is not meaning a different helper, but the same kind of helper as himself. You see, the Holy Spirit is a divine person who takes the place of the divine person who leaves. And so the importance of the Spirit's personhood cannot be overstated, since the alternative is to think of the Spirit as an impersonal force. In thinking this way, many Christians desire to get more of the Spirit in the same way that one gets power from an electrical outlet. They speak of plugging into the Spirit. They emphasize spiritual techniques or experiences that will somehow help them to tap into the Spirit's power. But the Holy Spirit is not a mere power. He is a third person of the divine Godhead, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. In Acts 8:9-24, we read of Simon the Magnus, a spiritual figure who professed faith in Jesus Christ and then sought to purchase the Holy Spirit. Now Peter rebuked Simon, saying in Acts 8:20, but Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." And now Acts later tells of the calling of Paul and Barnabas to be the first missionaries. And while the first Christians in Antioch were worshiping, Acts 13:2 tells us, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Simon was one who wanted to gain and use God's Spirit as a magical force. But instead it is the Holy Spirit who gains us and uses us for God's work. So next let's consider the Holy Spirit as Paraclete. The Holy Spirit as Paraclete. And in addressing his forlorn disciples, Jesus makes a second statement here about the Holy Spirit. He said that the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son together as a result of Jesus' finished work on earth. John 14:16 says, "I will ask the Father," Jesus said, "and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." And now Jesus told his disciples that they would do greater works than he had done, referring to the spread of the gospel, that they would pray effectual prayers, and that out of love for him, they would obey his commands in John 14:12-15. And so the promise of the Holy Spirit continues that teaching today. And the sending of the Holy Spirit is not a reward for good behavior. Rather, it's Jesus part of this relationship of mutual devotion. He would send the Holy Spirit to empower the disciples' life of gospel witness, prayer, and good works. Together in a joint council of grace for our salvation, the Father would give the Spirit and the Son would send the Spirit to carry forward Christ's saving work in the gospel after his resurrection and ascension into heaven. This teaching highlights the importance of the word another in our text. And Herman Ritterbos states, this helper will take place after Jesus' departure, and in his activity as helper will do nothing other than what Jesus has been doing, except that in doing it, he will continue to advance Jesus' work. And so the Holy Spirit thus comes together as another Jesus, not in his person, but in his work. Let me say that again. So the Holy Spirit thus comes as another Jesus, not in his person, but in his work. So it's because of the Spirit's ongoing ministry on Christ's behalf that Christians are not impoverished by Jesus' departure, but in fact are greatly helped. And so what exactly then does the Spirit do to provide for Christ's disciples and their work for Jesus? The answer is found in a word here in our text that Jesus will mention four times in this farewell discourse, but that is not easily translated from the original Greek into English. Now, the King James Version describes the Spirit as another counselor, and the NIV renders this description as another helper. And all of these offer a valid perspective so long as they are rightly understood. In the Elizabethan English of the King James, a comforter was not a sympathetic listener, but a legal advocate who supported a person in the affairs of court. And so to call the Spirit a counselor is in accord with his mission of conveying Christ's truth. And the word helper perhaps best conveys the meaning. by being most generally speaking to the whole of the help that the Spirit provides. And so, in order to understand Jesus' meaning, we must consider the meaning of the Greek word itself. And now, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as a parakletos, a word that combines the prefix para, meaning alongside of, with the verb kaleo, meaning to call out. And the form of the word is a passive participle. It's a passive participle, so that we might literally describe the Holy Spirit as the one who is called alongside. And it is also valid to translate parakletos in terms of the Spirit's action, in which case it would be the one who calls from alongside. And so if we take these two ideas and we combine them, we have a basic meaning of Jesus' designation of the Spirit as a parakletos. And so the Holy Spirit is a divine person who is called to our side to continue the ministry that Jesus began. And there at our side, the Spirit calls us out in the words of the Puritan John Owen to support, to cherish, to relieve, and to comfort the church. And now let's talk about the Spirit's inward ministry. And the first thing to say is that the primary difference in the manner of Christ's ministry and the Spirit's ministry as our helper is seen in John 14:17. You know him, Jesus said of the Spirit, and he dwells with you, referring here to the Spirit's presence in Christ himself. And Jesus was born by the miraculous conception of the Holy Spirit. And though he was himself fully divine, Jesus received the equipping of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Jesus was the beginning of a new humanity in the Holy Spirit, which is why Paul refers to him as the last Adam who became a life-giving spirit in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And in the person of Jesus Christ, the Spirit has been present all along, so that by knowing Jesus, the disciples knew the Spirit. And now after Jesus departed, his continued ministry of grace will be by means of the indwelling Spirit. Jesus refers to the future when this Holy Spirit would come upon the church at Pentecost, saying that the Spirit will be in you, John 14:17 says. And so this is why Jesus said that it would be better for his disciples that he depart for then the other helper whom he would send would indwell believers with saving power. The Spirit carries on Jesus' work as a Christ, meaning Messiah or Anointed One, a title that gathers together the three anointed offices of the Old Testament. It is in terms of these offices that the Spirit carries on within us the work that Jesus first accomplished for us. And the first thing to say here is about this is that the Spirit takes up Christ's office as a great and true prophet of God's people. John began his gospel by designating Jesus as the Word in John 1:1. And Jesus told his disciples in John 14:9 that whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And so Jesus' revealing work carries on in the church by means of the Scriptures, which Jesus appointed the apostles to write. It was the role of the Spirit to come alongside the apostles in this calling, namely, the divinely inspiring them so that their words would be the very words of God. And Peter states here, this is why Peter says this in 2 Peter 1:21. He says that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And Christ's work of revelation did not conclude with the Spirit's inspiration of the Bible, but he continues to reveal God and his salvation through the Spirit's illuminating work of the Scriptures. And it's only as the Spirit shines on the heart that anyone can comprehend and believe God's word today and is saved. As the paraclete that we need, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and works on Christ's behalf with us. So that, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine in darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the great high priest who brings his cleansed people before God's throne. The New Testament teaches that it was through the eternal Spirit that Jesus gave himself as a spiritual sacrifice for our sins. offering his own blood to pay our debt to God's justice and secure our forgiveness. And this great and pivotal work was about to take place, since Jesus' arrest lay mere hours beyond this last teaching to his disciples. For us, as a true high priest, Jesus made the sacrifice for our sin, and after his ascension, he offered that sacrifice once and for all in heaven. And it's in this context that the New Testament uses a term partly to describe Jesus himself. 1 John 2:1 says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. And the word advocate comes from the Greek word parakletos, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And since Jesus' sacrifice was offered once and for all, what is further the priestly role of the Spirit? And the answer is seen in the inward application of Christ's priestly blessings to the individual Christian spirit. Jesus ministers as our high priest today by his effectual intercession at the right hand of the Father. Romans 8:31, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. And while Jesus now in heaven intercedes for us at the throne of grace, reaching out to the Father with the hands that were pierced for us, the other helper, the Holy Spirit, performs the same work within us, bringing peace to our consciences as he presents the wounds of Christ to our minds. And the pardon of sins that was achieved for us by Christ, our paraclete, and the application of this pardon within our hearts is carried out by the other paraclete, the Spirit, whom Christ has sent with the Father. Christ's third office is that of the great King over all of God's people. And according to answer 26 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, Christ executes his kingly office in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. You see, Jesus reigns in us today by means of the Holy Spirit in us. John 3:3 says, unless one is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Thus he subdues the elect from their unbelief by sending the Holy Spirit to regenerate their souls. And this kingly ministry is necessary for our strength when we're facing trials or temptation. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit whom he sends will be with you forever, John 14:16 says, because he is able to preserve us in faith by working in us all the graces of Christian character that we need for our pilgrimage to heaven. And it's by the Spirit that Christians are set free from their bondage to sin. It is by the Spirit that we receive assurance of our sonship to the Father and our inheritance with Christ in glory. Paul thus calls him the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Romans 8:15 says. It is by the Spirit within us that Christ conveys his peace to our hearts, calling, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Next, let's talk about the Spirit of truth. And one thing that all ministries have in common is that they are revealed to us by Christ through his Spirit by means of his word. And this reality explains that the emphasis that Jesus gives in describing the paraclete as the Spirit of truth in John 14:16. And as we continue in Jesus' farewell discourse, the role of the Spirit in revealing Christ's truth will be explained in detail. After all, it was by the Spirit that these disciples were able to write the New Testament. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And it's by means of the same Spirit that the glory of Christ is revealed to the believer, to believers in God's Word. John 16:14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And without delving into Jesus' latter teaching, for now we should observe the close connection between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You see, it's largely because of erroneous views regarding the Holy Spirit that many Christians today are suspicious of Christians who are devoted to knowing Christ's truth and who revere the Bible as the very Word of God given by the Spirit to lead us into a true knowledge of divine revelation. And for many, being spiritual means being non-dogmatic and imprecise. But according to Jesus, to be spiritual is to be biblical, for the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Through the Scriptures, John 16:13 says, will guide you into all truth. And so to be sure, this revelation will give us more than head knowledge, but it will not give us any less. And thus, the way to progress in our walk with God is to do what Romans 12:2 says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Indeed, according to Jesus, it is by means of the truth that the great division within mankind is revealed. And he says of the Spirit in John 14:17 that the Word cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. And John Calvin says the Holy Spirit is only a dream to earthly men because they rely on their own reason and despise heavenly illumination. And without the regenerating work of the Spirit, man in sin is spiritually dead, so that he not only will not, but he cannot accept the things of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And this gives Christians all the more reason to prize the truth given us by Christ through the Spirit, relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's revealed truth. Next, let's consider how we're empowered to serve. And given Jesus' statement about the Holy Spirit and the world, the first application of this passage should be made to unbelievers. Why is it that you do not believe on Jesus Christ? Why is it that you know nothing of the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, according to the Bible, is that through sin you are alienated from God. And this alienation is within you, so that your heart is hostile to God, and in a way that a reckless driver resents a trailing police car. According to the Bible, this alienation is even more severe on God's part, for our sins have offended him personally, and they have transgressed his holy law. And as sinners, we now lie under the wrath of the holy God, who warns us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So what hope is there for you if you cannot know the Holy Spirit or even understand God's Word? And the answer is the very work of Christ that we have considered in this sermon. Christ is the prophet, and he sets himself before you as the perfect revelation of the glory of the grace of God. And moreover, through the Spirit-inspired Scriptures, he declares to you his priestly work to gain the pardon of sins through his very own blood. And as the King of Heaven, he calls you to salvation through simple faith in his word. As prophet, priest, and king today, Jesus invites you to receive all his work for you, which he will then continue in you by his Spirit, if you will receive him in humble, repentant faith. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. And so what is the application for us as Christians? Jesus' teaching was designed to comfort his disciples with the knowledge of his continuing work in them by the Spirit of God. We should thus be greatly encouraged by the power of Christ available to us through the Spirit, who comes alongside us and calls within us so that we can achieve our potential as born-again citizens of the kingdom of Christ. And so far in John 14, Christ has told his disciples of three things they will do after he departs. And it turns out that these correspond to his own threefold office. Jesus said that whoever believes, John 14:12 says, will do the works that I do, even greater works than these, referring mainly to the spread of the gospel throughout the world. But how are we to take up Christ's prophetic office, telling people today about his gospel of salvation? And the answer is by the help of the mighty Holy Spirit, who gives us the words to say. Jesus added that we would pray in his name and receive what we ask. But can we really be mighty in the priestly ministry of prayer? And the answer is found in the indwelling help of the Holy Spirit. Not that we always know what to pray, Paul says in Romans 8:26-27, But likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And finally, Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Can we reign with Christ, obeying the commandments of God's word, especially Christ's new commandment that we should love one another? And the answer is surely no, if we're doing it in our own power and in our own strength. Let's again read our passage that we've been considering today. John 14:16-17 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So with the Spirit of our King subduing our sin and granting us power from the armories of heaven, we have what we need through faith to do his royal will on earth as it is in heaven. And so how then do we receive the Spirit? And we need to remember that he is a person, not an impersonal force that we tap on. And according to the Bible, we receive the Spirit by trusting in Christ alone. Galatians 3:2 says, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer was, by faith alone. We then experience the Spirit's power through the Word that he inspired, which 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Finally, we receive the Spirit's work in our lives by asking. In his great parable on prayer, Jesus commented that even earthly fathers give good gifts to their children. Luke 11:13 says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you see, we have considered a great deal about the Holy Spirit. But let me once again, as we wrap up this message today, and then I'll pray, read our text. John 14:16-17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Recently, there was a meme or a video of a person, and they were saying how I'm going to speak my truth, not the truth, but my truth. You see, you and I live in a world where people are only concerned to speak their truth because it's their words, it's their thoughts. And sure, let's be clear, there's nothing wrong with speaking truth, sharing our feelings, or those kind of things. But as Christians, there becomes a problem when we ground our lives, ground our worldview, in only our thoughts, in only our thinking. As Christians, we have the truth. We have the Word of God, the objective standard, the inspired, inerrant, authoritative, sufficient, and clear Word of God. That is why we go through books of the Bible here at Servants of Grace. That is why I do these sermons. Not just to disseminate information in theology. Instead, we firmly believe in expository preaching. That is verse by verse preaching, going slowly through books of the Bible to help you understand, learn, grow in the knowledge of the truth, and in the grace of our God. And see, in this culture where that says, I'm going to speak my truth, we as Christians can say, we have the Spirit of truth. We have the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the truth. And not only that, but Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God pierces the heart and the marrow of man. And not only that, but the Scriptures tell us that Jesus sees through our facade. He sees to the root and to the core of our being. And so while it's a nice statement to say that I'm going to speak my truth. The fact is that statement is fundamentally not true. We don't just speak my truth. We don't just speak my opinions as Christians. Instead, we speak the truth from the Word of God because we come to understand that the Spirit of God uses the truth of God. And so that the Word and the Spirit work together in harmony to accomplish God's plan. In Luke 19:10, Jesus says that He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. See, He comes. Jesus does. He doesn't come to condemn the lost. He comes for the lost. He is for the lost. He is for the person that says, I'm going to speak my truth. Because Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. But even still, we need help. We can't do this in our own power. And this is what Jesus is saying in our passage today. He has sent help. Let me ask you, when is the last time that you asked for help from somebody? How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel good to ask for help? You know, I'm going to be really honest with you. You know, one of the things that's most embarrassing to me is I know nothing about home repair. Not at all. It's actually rather comical. On a scale of 1 to 10 of my knowledge and ability to fix something. I mean, not everything. I mean, you know, there's things where, you know, I can figure out how to do, and, you know, I can put oil in a car and those kind of things. But if it's something that I've, you know, never done or, you know, if it just comes to anything, you know, and I can fix put a light bulb in and those kind of things. So I'm not completely deficient, and those kind of things, but when it comes to just about anything home-related, you know, and repair, I don't know how to do it. I don't, you know, and what's comical is, you know, say the garbage disposal went out. Well, I have no idea how to fix that, you know. Even if I Google it, I'm going to sit there for hours trying to figure out how to fix it. Trust me, this has actually happened. It's funny. But here's the thing. You might be like me. You know, completely helpless when it comes to, you know, home repair. But the thing is that when we're helpless, that's when God, when we say, God, I need your help. I need your grace. I need more of you. That's when we acknowledge that we're weak and God is strong. Notice what I just said. When we acknowledge that we need help, we're saying that God, we need your help. And here in our text, Jesus says that He will send another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. And what? John 14:16 ends, and it says that the Holy Spirit will be with you, this helper will be with you forever. So He's going to help us forever. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to be with us forever. That's good news for people like you who can't figure out what is going on with an appliance in your house. Jesus is going to be with you through the Spirit forever. That's even better news for those of you who are going through marriage or relationship issues at your job, at church, or out in the world. And Jesus intimately knows you. There's nothing beyond His gaze. He's with you forever. He sees to the heart of the issue. And why? Verse 17 tells us, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You, notice that, you know him, for he dwells with you, will be in you. So not only will the Spirit help us in the midst of difficulty, he'll be with us forever, but he's given us the Spirit of truth that the world doesn't see or know. It cannot receive because it doesn't know Jesus. And yet our text says that as Christians, we know him. How do we know him? We know him because God has sovereignly taken our heart of stone and he's replaced it with a new heart, with new desires, new affections. And what was the result? The rest of the verse tells us. For he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit has not left you. God has not left you. People say today, well, God isn't interested in me. God doesn't care about me. And instead what God is saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you forever. In fact, he's going to guide you and lead you in the truth that the world cannot know because it doesn't know Jesus. And yet you know him. And he dwells in you. He will be in you. Maybe today you think that God is disinterested in you. As a Christian, that couldn't be further from the truth. Our text loudly proclaims that God is interested in you. He's telling his disciples, he's about to leave. And he's sending another helper. He's not leaving them. His adopted and beloved people, he is not leaving them. In fact, he's sending the Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, to be with them forever, to dwell with them, and to be with them. And so God is interested in us. That's amazing. That is good news. Not only, as the Psalms say, is God near to the brokenhearted, but he's also with us as Christians forever, helping us. We need help. We desperately need help. You and I do. We need his help to be his witnesses. We need his help to walk in the truth. We need his help in every phase and in every way, every day. And maybe today you're going through just a difficult season of life. And it seems that all of life is caving in. And there is no hope for you. Maybe you're about to lose your house. Maybe it's about to foreclose. Maybe a certain relationship that means so much to you is about to collapse. And that hurts. Or maybe you've experienced real, tangible hurt by the church, by a pastor, by a ministry leader, or by someone else recently, or in your past. And what you need to understand that as Christians, we have another helper. We have the Spirit of Truth. People may let us down from time to time. Maybe even more than a time to a time. And yet, God says that now through the Spirit, he will be with us forever. That he is the Spirit of Truth. That is good news for you and I, because we don't have it all together. We don't have this all figured out. And yet we have a helper. We have the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, to help guide us in the truth. And this is why you and I, we need the Word of God in our lives. We need to not only just hear the Word preached on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, but we also have need to study the Word, to learn from other godly teachers, to help point us, to help us understand what the Word teaches, and helps us understand how all of Scripture points to Christ alone. And how Christ is not only just the central theme of Scripture, but how he is to be the central hero of our lives. that maybe today you feel crushed and broken and bruised and battered by life. And our text says something amazing. If you'll get it, if you'll please, only listen to this part of the sermon. Only take away this part. Our text today says that Jesus will not leave you. He has not left you. Instead, He dwells in you as a Christian. He is with you. And He will send another helper to help you. That doesn't mean that everything in your life will be rosy. Life is full of tribulations and trials. But in the midst of those trials, there will be comfort. There will be help. Because Jesus is with you. And He, through the Spirit, dwells in you. And is with you. And is guiding you and comforting you and ministering to you. I don't know about you, but I need that every day. I need that every moment of every day. I need that when I wake up. I need that in the middle of the day. I need that at the end of the day. I need that when I lay down on my pillow and say my final prayers before I fall asleep. And every moment that I'm awake and every moment that I'm asleep. And yet we need to understand that God is not distant, that He is not disinterested. Instead, He is fully invested in us, and He secures our pardon. He gives us new life. He walks alongside of us. What an amazing God that we serve. What an amazing God that we serve. Would you please pray with me now? Father, we thank You for this text, for we're taught, instructed by it, that You have not left us, that You will not leave us nor forsake us. Instead, You have sent the Holy Spirit to comfort, to help, to guide us in truth forever. And to dwell with us and to be with us. So Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Lord God, that You are with us and in us. And now I pray, Lord, that wherever we are in our lives, that You would do by Your Spirit what You do. And that we would walk with You, daily walk with You. That You would comfort, guide, lead, convict. Lord, we are Yours. Please help us, lead us to places of repentance. Lord, comfort us in the midst of our hardship. Give us strength in the midst of difficulty. Lord, help us to see our great need, our need for Jesus. And help us to not walk in our own strength, but to walk in weak need, dependence, and humility before the face of God. In Jesus' name, amen.